Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
My name's Selina and today's podcast is part of our series of women who follow their hearts. And I am so excited to be sharing with you my interview with Gail. She joined our Project Love 365 monthly membership program a couple of months ago. And over the course of the first few weeks, as she was introducing herself and telling us what she was up to in life with her, the work that she does and the charity that she is running and all the other things she does, we realized that we were in the presence of a true ambassador of love. Her whole reason for living, her whole agenda in life is to spread love. She even, her whole business runs by the mantra of love creates love. What's so brilliant about her is that she's the real deal. She doesn't just put lip service to it. She doesn't just put lots of sort of Pinterest posts up telling us that we should all live a life that we love. She's really out there spreading love in the world through action, through the work that she does, through the charity work that she does with Love Support Unite, through the online campaigns that she runs. She is a true inspiration. Enjoy listening to this interview. I felt so alive and in love by the end of it, and I hope that you will too. Hi, Gail. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi. I can't wait to do this. I'm very excited.
Well, I have already been telling everyone why I'm so excited to be talking about you, but it really is because the moment we met you and as we started to see you in Project Love 365 and discover all the things you're up to, we just realised that we were in the presence of one of the greatest ambassadors of love we have ever come across. And it just, week by week, that I'm following you on Instagram and seeing what you're up to and hearing what you're up to, I'm just like, what more could this woman be doing? It is just, you are such an incredible ball of inspiration and love. I mean, your life just does seem to be, you truly seem to come from such a place of passion and from such a place of love and following your heart. So I want you to tell us your secret.
I'm not quite sure how I can ever live up to such an amazing introduction. I'm like, whoa, is that me?
Yeah, it is you.
It's really cool. I want to meet her.
Yeah. Well, that's the person we get. That's the person we get to enjoy. So, yeah, it's a joy to be around. But let's start with the work that you do, because that's so much, you know, what you're about at the moment. So yeah, tell us about the work that you do.
Okay, so I am the UK director of a very grassroots charity called Love Support Unite. We are based in the UK, but we work in Malawi. And we try to bring transformational change to communities in poverty through sustainable community-based projects. That's it in a kind of nutshell. And how it sort of manifests itself is in various different ways. But largely, we use farming, permaculture and agriculture to fund projects such as our first sustainable school. So they're pretty big projects, they're pretty meaty, they're quite ambitious, but we are very much driven to make these changes because we work on the ground ourselves, we project manage the projects, we have direct links with the community, and to be honest, it means like everything to us. So, yeah, so that's kind of what I do for some of my time. And I'm very, very passionate about it.
And how do you, what are one of the wonderful ways that you raise money for your charity?
So, obviously, when you're working in the charity sector, it's really hard to kind of, you know, compete, because obviously every single charity is amazing. Everyone who runs a charity is coming from a heartfelt place where they want to change the world. So you've got to find a sort of way to distinguish what you're doing. And obviously our work in Malawi completely speaks for itself. We're very transparent and accountable to all of our donors. And if you want to come over and see what we do, you can. But we also needed a kind of way to connect with our donors and our supporters in the UK that would help them feel the love and feel the connection between their generosity, kindness and support and what was actually happening in Malawi. And that's actually quite hard as a charity, because there is that sort of disconnect between what comes out of your bank account and, you know, what happens in Malawi. Like, did I really do that? Did my like £10 a month, does it really make a difference? So what we wanted to do was create something which would enable that love connection. So we came up with these amazing magical sunglasses, which are called Love Specs. You may have seen them at festivals and events. We were at 50 festivals around the world last year.
Wow.
And in essence, without giving away all of our secrets of how we put magic in our Love Specs, which is akin to kind of, you know, only what Father Christmas knows, that's how Love Specs made by our special love. They live in a little cave and they're hardworking all the time, putting the magic into them. But no, in essence, what they are is they are sunglasses which have a special filter that when you flip them down over the lens, every single light that you see turns into a beautiful love heart. So if you're watching fireworks, lasers, if you're at a festival, Christmas is like, oh, bliss. My absolute favourite is in the back of that cab, after you've had maybe a couple of drinks, you put your Love Specs on, and every single light on every single car that is going down Tottenham Court Road turns into a love heart. it's amazing. So we sell these Love Specs for £10, and all of the profits, so £6 of every pair of Love Specs, go straight to the community-based projects in Malawi and literally changes lives. So the idea being that you get to see love all around you, and changes your perception of your life and how you see the world. But ultimately, that love travels all the way to children in poverty in Malawi, who also need to see the love and the opportunity and the hope that our work presents to them. So it is all about changing your perception of charity, of aid, of how you can help people. And also just a thank you, you know, like so much in life goes uncelebrated. So any act of kindness, for example, you know, you're buying a pair of Love Specs, in essence you're making a £10 donation to the charity, but we want to celebrate you. You're amazing. Like, without you we wouldn't be able to do what we do, so you are part of the bigger picture, and Love Specs are kind of like the sort of symbol of that, if you like.
Oh my God, it's just so good.
And it's
so great. And I have seen these Love Specs in action. I took them to a party in Spain where there were like lights and lasers everywhere. And I handed them to one friend in particular, and she'd never come across these before. And she was like a four-year-old child seeing a Christmas tree for the first time in her life. It was incredible. But yeah, they're absolutely brilliant. But also what I love about the way you do it is that you're so grassroots. On Instagram, you fundraised, was it a couple of weeks ago, to get blankets?
Yeah. So the really sort of unique thing about us is that because we are so small, there's three of us girls that are based in the UK, and then we have three incredible project managers in Malawi, and we're connected all the time on WhatsApp. So that's the amazing thing about global communication now. So my project manager just sent me a WhatsApp saying, look, the women in the communities that we're supporting are freezing. They have got nothing. There are no blankets. There are mums and babies who are literally have nothing. They are lying on, you know, a bare mud floor, and I you know, please help me. So when you get a WhatsApp like that, you're kind of like, I need to do something about this. So I just took a photo of the WhatsApp, put it on my Facebook, put it on my Instagram, and I said, look guys, we need £105 to get 60 blankets to these mums and babies. Can we do this? And I was just overwhelmed by the incredible kind of support from the community, because I think, you know, that's a really good example of actually having the connection. That's what it's all about. You know, Prince, my manager, asked me, I then asked Facebook responded, that came back through our Just Giving account, that's now gone out to Malawi, and now those mums and babies, not only do 60 mums and babies have blankets, 250 mums and babies have blankets. And that was like People Power. You know, that was like one Saturday morning. And, you know, that's an example of more of an emergency aid campaign that we do. Most of our projects are not aid-based. They are investment and training, and we don't give out sort of things or money. We normally just give out opportunities. But with that one, it was a real heartfelt plea. And so I had to kind of ask for a little bit of help. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens. So.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And also what's so beautiful about that is that you're giving people an opportunity to be part of something that feels so good. Because realistically, you probably could have turned to one friend or a couple of friends or to your own pocket and gone, there's the money. But actually by going, well, no, hang on, let's get everyone, let's have everyone that wants to be involved in contributing to this be able to, it makes it, it really spreads the love wider and further and the connection as well. It's just beautiful. Oh, what did I tell you guys that are listening? Didn't I tell you you're in for a treat? That's just number one. There's so much more. If people want to find out more about the charity, where do they go online?
We are Love Support Unite. So we have our own website, Instagram and Facebook for that. And then we also have a separate one for Love Specs. So that's lovespecs.org. And you can find out all about where the profits from Love Specs go. You can buy a pair online. You can even volunteer to come and sell for us at festivals, which is a great way to connect. Again, you'll be meeting us, the actual people that run the charity. And, you know, a lot of our Love Specs sellers actually then come over to Malawi and see on the ground where all of their time and effort has gone over the summer months to sell. So that's how I actually discovered Love Specs, is because I love sport, you know, because I actually bought a pair of Love Specs at a festival, and now I've ended up as the UK director 3 years later. So be careful what happens when you buy a pair of Love Specs. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, actually, I want you to say a little bit more about that, because this is a perfect example of a woman who follows her heart. So tell us about, because I know the story is a little bit crazy, you bought a pair of Love Specs. How did that lead on to you following your heart? And how much later did you find yourself in Africa?
Well, okay, very long story short. Basically, I love all things heart-shaped, sunglasses, festival sparkles, glitter, that's me. So I was at an event, saw the Love Specs, thought I need these in my life, went over to a beautiful, sparkly girl, bought the Love Specs, tried them on, instantly fell in love. It was Christmas time and everything was just magical. But over Christmas, I was sort of playing with them a little bit, and I knew that the girl who'd sold them to me said they were related to a charity. So I Googled the charity, which was Love Support Unite. And I was like, wow, I didn't realise that all the money from Love Specs goes to this charity. These guys are amazing. And at that time, it was just Nina and Alice, the founders of the charity, who were pretty much doing it all on their own. So I was 40 that year. So I emailed them and said, look, can I come over? I've got a business teaching infant massage and yoga, and I really want to help to teach staff in baby orphanages how to use touch to really help support babies' development. Can I come? And they were like, yes. And I was like, I can only come for a week. They were like, yes, you can still come. Can I bring my mate? Yes. And I can only come on these dates. Yes, you can still come. So they said yes so many times. And they said to me, are you coming? There was only one thing I could actually say, which was, yes, I am. So I had booked my flight on that conversation. My husband, my family, my friends thought I was mental. And the very first time I ever met Nina and Alice in real life was in Lilongwe Airport, after traveling thousands of miles on a plane to meet these two wonderful angels, having never ever seen them, spoken to them properly or anything, just fueled on a pair of Love Specs, basically. And the only reason I knew it was them in the airport was because they were wearing Love Specs. It was like, the whole thing was a bit like, when I landed in Lilongwe Airport in Malawi, I was a bit like, is this just one of your really crazy ideas, or is this going to kind of come together? It was the latter. And if I could describe what it was like to see Nina and Alice, it was literally like falling in love at first sight, because they are so inspirational, selfless, incredibly compassionate. passionate individuals that I thought, yes, you know, this is like something that I know I'm going to be a part of. And, you know, I went on that volunteer trip. It was incredible. I went back 6 months later for another volunteer trip to do even more work. And then after that, Nina and Alice decided they needed some extra help and asked me to become the UK director. And again, yes was the only word that kind of came out of my mouth. So they put, last week's sort of put me in this spell where I ended up sort of doing all of these really amazing heart-led things, which were way out of my comfort zone.
Oh, like what?
Well, like, you know, booking a flight to Malawi, having never spoken to anyone, you know, sort of taking on the job as a fundraiser for LSU and, you know, becoming the UK director. Like, you know, I didn't necessarily have the skills at the time. I didn't think I had the skills to do that. But, you know, on no budget in the first year, I managed to raise about £60,000. And that's
wow.
Not studied fundraising. It's because every single minute of the day, you know, Malawi and our projects and Nina and Alice are in my heart, and I will do whatever it takes to, you know, share that message, connect with people and put on events and do things because I truly believe in what I'm doing, you know. So it all starts in those magical aspects, and I have them with me at all times in any situation because they're like my little mascot of what you can do, you know, what you can really do when you believe in love and you really put your heart behind something and you have no fear, you know. Like, love is the opposite of fear, isn't it? So when you take that fear away and you just truly believe in people power and love and, you know, any positive energy and things, I truly believe you can do amazing things.
Oh my God. I mean, so many questions. Where to go next? I'm just like, quick, scribble them down so I don't lose my thread. Before we go on to the other one of the other loves of your life, because obviously we'll also go on later on to the fact that you have a family, you have three kids, you have a husband, so we'll talk about them in a bit later. I want to talk about your other business, but first I'm really interested in, where do you think this belief in the power of love comes from? Were you brought up with parents who were like this? Where did this all come from?
No, I don't think so. And to be honest, if I was being completely honest, I don't think it truly happened as a connection for me until I had my children. I would say like my 20s were a pretty unsettled time for me. Like I qualified, you know, I left university, I had a law degree. I'd started off life as a solicitor working in the city in London and my heart wasn't in it. And actually I went through a bit of a funny period in my 20s. I would never be 20. I'd never be in my 20s again.
Ever. Me neither.
I really feel for 20 somethings. I think it's such a unsettling, turbulent time in your life. So many decisions and all sorts of things. But anyway, that's for another day. But so in those early 20s, I wasn't quite sure of my direction or anything. And then I actually became pregnant when I was 26. And that, when I had my own children, that's when I truly understood the meaning of love and the power of love. And the fact that, you know, when you have children, you are growing babies with love. You know, you have got this beautiful seed that you're given, and then how you nurture that seed and what words you say and what actions you do and what experiences and emotions you surround, you know, your children with grows, you know, the future. And not only is that an investment into that person's beautiful life, it's also an investment into the fact that you're going to be traveling and having this lifelong relationship with this person. So you want to be there for them in the most emotionally available way you can be. So for me, once I realized that and how powerful love could be, I suddenly thought, I want to put this into every aspect of my life from now on, into my business, into my friends, into my, you know, into the world, because I could see, I don't know, I think it was that whole point of, you know, when you have a baby, you have the opportunity to create, don't you? You've created a baby, you've grown a baby inside you, and then you give birth, and you have this opportunity, and for me, that was a real game changer for me.
Well, that's, I just love hearing that. And I know you talk about, you describe mothers as life creators, which I really love. But I've done a podcast before with Helen Johnson, who's an expert on goddess archetypes. And we talked a lot about Demeter, who is the mother goddess, essentially. But really, the mother goddess in her full power, she's all about creating and bringing forth life. And that's, yes, in children, but also in ideas and in business. And so what you're talking about is almost as if that Demeter goddess awoke in you by having children, and you in your full power as that kind of Demeter goddess recognize it's not just about, you know, putting this into, you know, love like this into our children to help them to flourish, but it's actually, you can bring it into the way you work, your relationships with your husband, your relationships with your friend, your relationships with the world as a lover and a creator within life, which is amazing. Yeah.
Totally. I think you completely just, you know, that in essence is exactly how I now feel, that every act of creation is an act of love, because when you create, you have to fall passionately in love with whatever it is you're creating, because you have to nurture it, you have to power it. It's an extension of yourself and your energy. And so every act of love is an act of creation. Every creation is an act of love. And actually, I was always a very naturally creative child. And then I kind of suppressed that to go all boring and be a solicitor for a while. And the sort of liberation of leaving the law and then having this baby and then going, wow, I can actually be anything I want to be because I created this amazing life. So now I'm just going to create a life that I love as well and share it with my kids.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened, really.
Absolutely amazing. So now tell us about the business that you then started as, and that you started to train in when you were a young mum. It was when you had your first child, wasn't it?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I used to be a solicitor in the city. And then when I had my daughter, I decided I really wanted to be with her. I just really wanted to sort of share this journey with her, and I wasn't particularly in my flow as a solicitor anyway, so I left the law, but I wanted to do something else because having my own identity is something that's really important to me as a mother. So I decided to train as an infant massage instructor, and I also decided to specialize as a pregnancy massage therapist. And so I started my own business, and basically I just taught a little bit around my daughter. I ended up having two more children, so I have three kids under 3.5 at one stage, which was literally mental. I didn't go out for about 7 years. Well, apart from to the supermarket and the park, obviously, but I didn't actually have a normal life for a very long time. But during that time, I taught infant massage. I then added infant yoga. I started to get a job just doing a little bit of lecturing to teach in a college in London. And then when my youngest son went to school, I decided to create my own organisation, which is Blossom and Berry. And we now train people to teach infant massage to parents across the world. So I've gone from sort of teaching women face-to-face locally to doing teacher training, because I felt that I can have more impact on the world by having this wonderful collective of 200 teachers across the world that are all sharing the message of the power of nurturing touch, massage and yoga. And I absolutely love it. And it's bizarre, because I was the girl who had never, ever held a baby before in her life. So I had never, before my daughter was born, I'd never held a baby. She was the first baby I'd ever had. And now, 16 years later, I've got this whole sort of, organisation which is all about mums and babies. So it's amazing, really, what happens when you tune in.
Yeah. And so how did you find that this is what you wanted to do?
I just think I wasn't really into babies or children or anything before I had kids. But when my daughter was a really unsettled baby, and I was a really nervous new mum, and I went to an infant massage class, and I just sort of had this moment where I thought, you know what, like all these books that I'm reading about what I should be doing, like should is my least favourite word in the entire vocabulary, all these things I should be doing are making me really cranky and lose myself and lose what's really important. And in that moment, I realised what's really important is to trust your instincts, to respond to your baby when they need you, whether they're, you know, laughing or crying, or, you know, they're angry or frustrated, or they're sad or they're happy or they're giggly or whatever it is, you need to respond. And you just need to let go of all of the expectations that are around you and just have fun, you know, just be in the moment with your baby and don't worry about all of that stuff. And for me, infant massage embodies that, because it's a physical connection. It's a moment in time. It's a shared experience. And touch is a baby's most developed sense at birth. And it's the strongest way to communicate to a child that they're loved, that they are secure, that they can trust you, and that they belong. And that's so powerful for infant mental health. I mean, it's the cornerstone of our emotional blueprint as adults. So, you know, it's not just, oh, I'm going to go to baby massage because, you know, it fits between baby swimming and baby gym. You know, baby massage is something which has the potential to really change how we respond emotionally as children and adults as well.
And what age, because I'm like, oh no, Sammy's two, have I missed the opportunity to create his blueprint with the right massaging?
That's the thing, you know, like with all things, you know, touch is something that's accessible to anybody. You know, it takes 20 seconds for your body to start to produce the love drug called oxytocin from a hug. And that means that your body will start to, after 20 seconds of a hug or a touch, your blood pressure starts to go down, your heart rate starts to go down, your immune system is more responsive, your digestion is improved, and, you know, it makes you feel good. So you can start massaging your baby or your child or your partner or your teen. Like, I've got teenagers now, they always have, you know, requests, give me a foot massage, mummy, and all this. So, you know, it doesn't matter what age it is, we have the power to communicate love at our fingertips. So, you know, it's free and anyone can do it. And if we do more of it, we're going to get more love hormones going around the body, which is good for lowering stress levels and all sorts of other things as well. Before I get all scientific and boring on you, but yeah, there's lots and lots of research and evidence to show how powerful touch is in helping people to connect.
And you're also bringing that work to Malawi, aren't you, to the charity?
Yeah, so that's how I originally got involved with the charity. Is I went over there to teach staff in baby orphanages how to use massage to give the babies the vital touch they need, because in most cases, you know, there's not enough carers to go around for. These are like little tiny babies, so babies under 6 months. You know, there might be one person for every 8 babies or something like that. So without touch, you know, babies' brains don't develop in the way that they could do, and there's many studies that have shown how touch deprivation for children in orphanages has damaged children's brains for life, you know, and also it stunts their growth and lots of other things as well. So I wanted to, you know, having had this amazing career teaching infant massage, I wanted to put that back into where the research comes from. So I wanted to go to these orphanages and teach infant massage, and the babies loved it and the training staff absolutely loved it, and then we've just grown from there, really. So we have 6 nurture ambassadors now that go out into the community and teach infant massage and safe motherhood, and we have sustainable farms for the women's groups. So yeah, like it just goes on and on and on, really. It's a wonderful thing.
It does just go on and on. Nurture ambassadors, I mean, come on, it's so good. And actually, talking of which, it keeps going on and on. I also wanted you to talk about the campaign that you were running. I think it was last week or the week before. Mm-hmm. Was it Mama Kindness? What was the hashtag?
So, yeah, so last week we did a Mama Kindness initiative. So, as I said, Blossom and Berry, we're not I don't believe in franchises. And so we have just a beautiful collective of independent teachers across the world. So we have about 200. And I just said, look, you know, let's put some love into the world, because the world at the moment is really unsettling. And I think particularly mothers feel that, because obviously we have a responsibility for our children, and the world that our children is growing into seems, you know, pretty bleak at times at the moment. So Mama Kindness is all about celebrating, valuing and making mums feel and know how important they are. So we just went out out, and we just did a whole campaign of random acts of kindness. So I went to my local coffee shop and I put a load of money behind the till, and I said, any new mums and babies coming in this week, free coffee on me. The guy in the shop was like, what? Like, do you want them to know who you are? And I'm like, no, just here's the money. Just pay for all of their drinks and they come in. One of my beautiful teachers bought like 12 dozen red roses, put one of our little love cards on them, and just went out and just gave women mums flowers on the street, like the old Impulse advert from the 80s. And then we had so many other things, and we had teachers in LA's, in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, in Botswana, in Ireland. So we had teachers all over the world doing it. It was fantastic. We all had so much fun. That was the thing. Like, everyone was like, can I just do this, like, all the time? I was like, yes, you can. You don't have to wait for me to do Mum of Kind this week.
So powerful. And I love, there's a great video of you on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Where you're basically going and surprising a mum in a park by giving her some flowers. And I just watched that. And I was just like, Gail, it just keeps coming. The love just does not stop flowing with you.
I know, it was so funny that day because I couldn't find any mums and babies at all. I was wandering the streets like a sort of prowling around trying to find one, like in a very predatory manner. And I was like, there's one, quick, let's go. And my daughter was filming and I was like, we've got to go and give her these before she moves on. But we managed to, I think we probably set, you know, touched a good couple of hundred women last week, so that's the idea.
Oh, what beautiful work. And how amazing that you had your daughter filming you doing it, that she's seeing you really living from your heart and doing all this work, and how much it makes you come alive.
Yeah, I mean, she came to Malawi with me. She came when she was 14, which was an incredible experience for her. And she's got big ideas now. I've unleashed something in her now. Oh. I'm slightly concerned what's going to happen next. But I was like, I don't mind what you do, but can I just come with you? And she's like, oh, really?
Yeah. Mom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so amazing. One of the questions I have then, you obviously, you do a lot. You have a lot going on and you clearly love it. But how, with the fact that you've got that, you've got three children, you've got your husband, how do you manage it all? How do you make sure that you are topped up and you keep yourself filled up, but you also have quality time with your family while doing all these things?
That is a good question, and lots of people ask me that, and I don't exactly know what the secret recipe is. All I know is that everything that I do, I really enjoy and I really love, so none of it seems to me as in it's work or it's a thing I have to do. I suppose it's about like being in your flow. I feel that I'm so sort of aligned with what's important to me in terms of my values in life that I just seem to find the energy an effort to be able to do these things. I do have times as well where like it's really important for me, like my family always has a meal together every night, we always have time, like we have our phones put away and things like that, because I do feel that is really, really important. But I think as well, like my family really accepts me for who I am, so they know how important things are, and so we just all kind of have that, you know, we sort of all work together, really. It's give and take.
And how does your husband find you kind of running off to Africa and just running around all over the place? Because I know you're busy going to events, you're doing this and that. How does he, is he okay with that?
My husband's really, really super cool. So like I met him when I was 24 and we've literally grown up together. And we just are really 100% supportive of each other. I mean, I'm free to be the person that I am and he's free to be the person that he is, and where we meet in the middle, that's kind of where the magic happens. But I'm really, really fortunate, and I've just encouraged him to go and buy a motorbike that he wants to do, and he's driving around France and Spain at the moment with his mate, you know, doing something that he's always wanted to do. Because I said to him, what, I'm always doing things that I love, like what do you really want to do? He's like, I really want to buy buy a motorbike. And obviously every wife goes, what? Don't buy the motorbike, that's really dangerous. But then I thought, no, like, that's just my fear of something happening to him, holding him back from doing something that he wants to do and loves. So I was like, yeah, just go for it. And he's come back, and he's like, next trip, you know, he's really excited for his next trip now. So it's really good, you know. And you know, okay, there are risks involved in going on a motorbike, but there's a risk involved in going to Malawi. So, you know, I'm like, if you can trust me to do what I need to do, then I just trust you to do what you've got to do.
Yeah. Next. Yeah. And to keep yourself safe.
Yeah, exactly. Life is all about experiences, you know, and the older I get, the more I realise, you know, if you have these experiences, if you have these desires, you have these dreams, if you do not actually do them, they are not going to come looking for you. So you've got to just, you know, get these wheels in motion.
Hear, hear. Life is not a dress rehearsal, as someone once said to me.
I know it's all like cliches, but it is actually true, you know.
Yeah.
It's the way it is, so.
Yeah, and the key is to actually live it rather than just post it on Facebook. Yeah. The cliches are true, though. And the guy that...
I feel like an inspirational quote, but I kind of am the one that then goes and does the inspirational quote after it.
Exactly, 100%. I mean, as we're sort of embarking on writing the Project Love book, it's just like a lot of the messages we're putting out there are like, yeah, we know these are, you know, you find these on every other Pinterest board. However, if you actually do it, it will change your life. The problem is, you know, when you just sort of like post them on Instagram and Facebook and don't do it, you do actually need to do it. And also, that's one of the things I love about you, is that you are so unapologetically enthusiastic about life. You are all about love. And love is sometimes given a bit of a bad reputation. It's kind of seen as fluffy and pink and cutesy, but where we come with Project Love is that love is the ultimate power. Like, it has the power to change anything and everything, and when you stand in love and really live your life from a place of love, it transforms your experience of life, but also the people around you. And for me, you absolutely embody that. And I really mean it, that I don't get to come across that many people who really live it in the way that you do. But even the way that you've, you know, getting your husband to follow his dreams, it is the way you run your business, what you do with the charity, the fact that you have boundless energy and you're just so in flow is just... I'm just so glad we get to share you with the people that are listening today, because it is so inspiring.
Yeah, well, I mean, being in the Project 365 group has been really good to see as well, like, how, you know, you were sort of suggesting, you know, like, how do you turn these dreams or these ideas? I think, you know, what you're saying about doing things is really important. So, you know, basically, you know, it is all about creation again. You have an idea, then how are you going to express that idea and share it with the world? And the only way to kind of turn it from the fluffy kind of daydreamy thing is action, you know. And love in action is the most powerful thing in any context, be it in charity, personal, business, or whatever. So that's what it is. It's like, take the thing you love and then put it into action. And then if you can find a tribe like, you know, Project Love that are going to support you on that journey, then that just makes it so much easier. And when you come across those challenges, because believe me, you know, like, it's not a fairy story. There's you know, there's been some really, like, difficult things that have happened over the years. You know, you can reach in and you don't give up, because you know that the original purpose and the intention that you had is strong enough to keep you going. But it does help when you have people around you that are your cheerleaders.
Absolutely. And actually, that's a really important point. I think when we hear stories like yours, it's important to let people know about the challenges as well as the successes. And what would you say have been some of your biggest challenges over the years in creating this life and these businesses for yourself and for your family and for the world around you?
I think, well, I'm not sure it's a challenge, but one of the things I learned really early on with my business was I've got a very organic approach to business. So I wanted my business to grow at the same rate as my family and myself as an entrepreneur, because obviously at the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just reading books and trying things out and learning from my mistakes and things like that. So I think one of the things that I learned was to be very organic and just allow things to happen. Even now, I'm a very responsive person, but I don't always like, you know, push things. I'm not a very pushy person, but I think that that's quite important to, you know, enjoy it as it's unfolding and don't be in a rush to kind of get to it. This sort of place, you know, that's sort of what I learned from my business. With a charity, we have all sorts of challenges. Like, you know, we can have an amazing project manager and then he has to leave because you know, he's got a family member who's ill, or things go missing, or you know, we have floods that wash away our seeds and things like that. And it, you know, it's challenging all the time, but that just makes us more determined, because every time we solve a challenge, we're like, well, we managed to solve that one, so this one we'll just solve that one as well. We haven't managed to come across anything yet that's really got our heads down, but you know, by Western standards, it's pretty serious stuff, you know.
Yeah, I feel like your mind, your brain, your whole being is just flooded with love. It's just like, yeah, okay. Because, and really, because we, you know, we talk about this with Project Love, it's really the most important thing you can do. Is there's two kind of tools you can learn. Is one, to help turn the volume of your shitty committee down, so that negative, critical, yeah, you know, worrying voice that we all have within us, and how to turn the volume up on that loving, wise side of you. And mm-hmm. that's the key. And it sounds like you have just got the you've taken the volume knob on the wise, loving side of you and found a whole new level to turn it to. And that is what is constantly on the radio waves. And that's what I say about the power of love, is that when you're tuned into love and you stand from a place of love, it's such a love is a great problem solver. It's a really great problem solver. It has humility to ask for help when you need it. You know, it makes sure that you're sort of surrounded by people that support you. And it's, yeah, it's a love. What did you say? Love in action is the most powerful thing. Yeah.
And I do have a shitty committee, but it is quite, it basically is on pretty quiet most of the time. Sometimes it shouts at me,
yes,
but I've really told it where to go, because I'm like, listen up. I hear what you're saying, but look at all these things that I'm doing that actually prove you completely wrong. And when the shitty committee tries to tell me things like that, I just deliberately go out and do something. Overly loving, whether it's, you know, calling a friend, or you know, going out and doing something like Mama Kindness Week, or just anything, you know, like just going and choosing my kids' favorite ice cream, you know, and surprising them. Like, it doesn't have to be massive. It's just that point of saying, listen, you know, you can choose love at every moment. Like, you can, in any decision, you can choose to be defeated by something, or you can choose to say, actually, I'm not going to be defeated by that. I'm just going to keep choosing the most positive, loving path that I can take from any moment. And I think that's how I've managed to keep those voices at bay. Just, you know, they, and get love to scream louder back at them.
And exactly. And ask yourself, what would be the most loving approach to myself and the others involved in this particular situation? And it is about choice, about choosing that path of love. So good. So my final question for you is, if someone's listening to you speaking now and they're feeling kind of stuck and a bit lost in their life, other than to go and join you at selling love specs at festivals, which I'm sure would turn any life around, and go and join you in Malawi, but really, if someone's listening and they're just feeling, God, I wish I was that passionate in life. I wish I felt like that. I wish I was creating a life like that for myself. Where would you recommend they start? What do they do next to kind of help them move towards a direction where they kind of reconnect with their passion and start putting love at the heart of the way they work and the way that they live?
Okay, so I would say the first thing that you need to work out is, you know, what is important to you? What are the values in your life that are going to give you the most happiness and joy. And you can work that out by, you know, looking in your life and thinking, what are the things that excite me? You know, who are the people that I want to ring, I want to meet? Like, and also identify who are the people that, or experiences that I don't want? You know, what are the things that no matter how much energy I have, I still don't want to do them? So for me, it's like cleaning. I hate it. Like, you know, I'm not passionate or loving about cleaning. So I try to eliminate or delegate or give, you know, somehow, you know, do those things, but try and do them in a loving way and bring all of your attention and your energy to the most important values you have in your life. Because then whenever you make a choice to do something, you're doing it in alignment with what's important to you. And I think that's what creates flow in your life. Like, flow is when you're in a constant state of happiness, joy and love. And the only way you can get into that is when you're truly doing something that you love. And you know, you won't know that until you really let go of some of those things and expectations, and you have to just experience things. And some things will go right and some things will go wrong. You just learn from those experiences, and then when you find the things that you love, you just do more of those and you do less of the things that you don't like. I know it sounds really easy, but in essence, that's kind of what it is, you know, because the more love you are experiencing, the more you give out, the more energy you have. And, you know, that's personally what I would say. But the start is, you know, having a vision, having a dream, recognizing your values and just experiencing stuff, not being afraid to do anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the way we learn and that's the way we grow.
Yeah. Explore and experiment and play. Yeah. It's absolutely key. And actually, I love the way that the simplicity of, you know, going, okay, start small, do a little bit less of what you don't like and do a little bit more of what you do like and just rinse and repeat. And eventually you'll be filling your life with the things that you love. But it can be go slowly. And I would say particularly for mothers, particularly for new mums, to really embrace that step-by-step kind of slowly approach.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, with new mothers, it's really hard because you are taking on a totally new identity. And, you know, you can feel so vulnerable in that place. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff on Instagram now with like the Instagram community of mums, which, you know, some of it is supportive, but some of it, I think, can make people feel a little bit intimidated. And when you don't have a strong identity of your own, then, you sort of take on all the shoulds, or I should be doing this, or I should, this is what it means to be a really good mom, and I should be doing this. And all of that stuff just fills your head with things that just aren't aligned with you, and you lose your purpose and where you're going and what makes you unique and special. So it's almost about sort of taking that time. And I know how difficult it is to find time, but even lying in bed at night and thinking to yourself, what amazing things did I do? What three amazing things did I do today to make my children's life a happier place, my life a happier place, or maybe any, you know, happier place? Just three things that remind you that you are amazing, you know. And if you don't do that, if you can't big yourself up, then it means that, you know, you're not maybe able to recognize that in others. If you don't love yourself and look after yourself, then you're unable to really love and care for somebody else. So it's that whole self-care thing, you know, it's that love creates love thing, which Blossom and Berry is really passionate about, you know.
Yes. It
starts with you as a parent. It starts with you as a mother. You have to love yourself in order to love somebody else. Hey, that's RuPaul, isn't it, actually? I think we should get an amen.
It's RuPaul. If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love someone else? Or whichever way around it is. What a great note to end on. And I do believe, I'm going to put it out there, it's at some point in the future, we're going to do a Project Love for Mamas, but watch this space. Book first. And then you're going off to Sri Lanka for a month.
I am. I'm off to Sri Lanka backpacking with my babies, my big babies.
Oh, my God.
Like 16, 14 and 13. And my husband's coming as well. So, yeah, we're going for a month to explore and, yeah, hang out, really. So...
Gail, you are an inspiration. You just keep on giving. Thank you so much. I honestly, I can't wait to share this with everyone else. I hope those of you that are listening have enjoyed this as much as I've enjoyed recording it. I've currently got a toddler who's desperately trying to break into the room. I don't know if you can hear the cries in the background. I will go and join him in a second. But yeah, if people want to find out more about you, where are the best places for them to go?
So the charity is lovesupportunite.org, LoveSpecs is lovespecs.org, and Blossom and Berry, that's my international teacher training business for baby massage and baby yoga. That's also on the website, www.blossomandberry.com.
And if they look up Gail Berry on Facebook, they
Facebook,
can
Instagram, you'll find me. Come and say hello. Come and get some love. Yeah. Absolutely. I love to connect.
I'll put lots of links wherever you've heard this podcast that you can go and find her. And I really encourage you to follow Gail because it's just a constant source of inspiration and love, which you are. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you. This has been my very favourite podcast ever.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.